very, very beautiful Hakdama of the Netziv to Parshas Bamidbar. I'd love to spend a couple minutes on together. I'd love to share this Hakdama with you. It's in the model of the Hakdamas of the Ramban to look at a whole Sefer. What does a whole Sefer mean? As you see, he is more concise than Ramban, and he has some very beautiful and very practical things to say. And so did Avraham and Vav, Chumash HaPekudim. Chumash HaPekudim. The Book of Numbers. That's the way the Tanam, apparently. You as well. This is... Tana says, that's right, the Tana says that... the Tanam described that on Yom Kippur, the Kohen goes, one of the times that you have a din of Kriyas HaTorah, Min HaTorah, is it can, there's a handful of mitzvahs, Havati Hakel is Pierce Tarmina Torah, and then there's a handful of mitzvahs which require laning the parsha from the Torah in conjunction with actually doing the masa. One of the very few such mitzvahs is Avos Yom Kippur. Kangal, the Mishnah is described, near the end of Avos Yom Kippur, he would lane. And that wasn't just the general din of Takanas Moshe Rabbeinu, the end of Masechta Megillah, to lane, to discuss Hilchos Chag V'Chag. A special din in conjunction of Avodah Yom Kippur, and din Daraisa Kangal has to lane. Now, Kangal lanes from Parshas Achimos. And then perhaps Emor also. And then he says, yes, I'm Asher Kriz of Mehem. Kasuv Khan, there's more here than what I've lanes. The Chumash has a lot of Chumash. I'm not going to all of it inside, but you should know what I'm about to tell you outside is also from the Chumash. And he recites Baal Peh, the psukim from Parshas Pinchas, what we associate as the mafia. The psukim talk about the Karban Musaf. The Mishnah is described that as the parsha of Yom Kippur in Chumash HaPekudim, in Sefer HaMitzvah. The Book of Numbers, which is the which we think of, we were talking about last week. We think of the English names as being very goyish. The truth is, all those English names are Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Those are all the names that Chazal used. We use the names that just are the opening word, or the one of the opening words of the first distinctive word in the Sefer, is a Dibra Masal. But Bereshis is Genesis. And then Sefer HaGalz V'Agul Rabban tells us that's Exodus. Torah's Kohanim is Leviticus, the Book of the Levites. Deuteronomy is Mishnah Torah. And Numbers, Chumash HaPekudim. If this is a serious name, this is the name of Chazal, Sefer Tiberi, Ma, Pesher Adar. But the others we understand. That Sefer HaGalz V'Agul Rabban explains that. That's the theme, certainly the opening theme, and Rabban says the theme of the entire trajectory of Sefer Rishon. Torah's Kohanim is pretty self-evident, and then the Mishnah Torah. Say by Yitzira for Sefer Bereshis for sure. The Chumash HaPekudim. So, it's still wonders. Nir Shem B'das Rav Oseim Inin Shnei HaPekudim Shebezeh HaSefer Yoser Mishari Dvar Mishem Yuchadim Bezeh HaSefer. It's striking. It's true that there are two counts of the Jewish people. One at the very beginning, the Chumash Bamidbar, the Parsha Bamidbar going to Naso, and then again near the end of the Sefer. But still, there are so many unique, striking episodes. Meraglim, Birkas Bilam, the Od Harbet. So many stories. So many stories. Or Bamidbar. It's the same from Trav and the Midbar. It seems odd that Chazal would have chosen what seems like a... It happens to be the first... It's the first topic. It's true that it's the first topic. I call it Bamidbar, the first words. The first topic is the counting. Okay. But it doesn't seem that that's so incredibly significant. Let's talk about it. So apparently Chazal telling us actually is something very important about the counting. And that in a certain sense is more significant than the Meraglim, more significant than the revolt of Korach, more significant than approaching Eretz Yisrael. The wars with Sichon and Og, more significant than the episode of Bilam. He goes on to explain, let's take a look. It's significant in a particular sense. It's not so much the counting per se, he says, but there's something about the counting, or the countings, we should say, that that captures something about the Sefer Zohar. Let's take a look with the third line. Mishum de'ikr zeh ha-sefer hu ha-machlev mishnei ha-lichos im ha-shev v'chayi ha-olam me'oz she'igiyu le'eretz Yisrael. V'naderech sh'ol ha-midbar. It says because what the counting captures is the following. The main theme, Mitziv suggests, of Sefer Bamidbar is to watch the transition of Klal Yisrael. You know, there was an article in Israeli Journal a number of years ago. They pointed out that if you trace Sefer Bamidbar, so you'll notice that there's the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar has clear dates. And then there's sort of a limbo period. And then Parakhaf, it picks up again with clear dates, right? Bamidbar opens very, very clearly, very definitively with an exact date. Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Rosh Chodesh Iyar, a year plus 2 weeks after Yetzias Mitzrayim. Right. Very clear. That's what Kadosh Baruch Hu says. It's a half a month after Pesach, half a month after the first Pesach of Bamidbar. Kadosh Baruch says to Moshe Rabbeinu, we're going to count the Jewish people. We've got to count the Jewish people. Right? The Gemara are in our parak. The Gemara itself points out that eight parakim later, we get a parak fast in Baal Oskar. When we told us in parak Pesach Sheni, the Torah gives a date again, and that date happens to be a month earlier. A Kadosh Baruch Hu parak fast in Baal Oskar speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, a month earlier. That's when he tells them you're going to bring Karban Pesach, and that's the whole Pesach Sheni. That's what the Gemara says. Oh, this is a paradigm for the idea of Ein Muktam U'Mu'ucher B'Torah. You see, sometimes events in Chumash are presented in a non-chronological sequence. The sequence in Chumash isn't always chronological. The focus Rashi Ramban have broadly that applies. Ramban thinks it's only a case that the Torah actually indicates it. Rashi thinks otherwise. But either way, Ein Muktam U'Mu'ucher B'Torah comes from the beginning of Parshas Chumash B'Midrash because, in part because, it highlights anyhow, it highlights the beginning of Bamidbar is very, very attuned to exact timing. And later in Baal Oskar, we hear that they leave Har Sinai on the 20th of Iyar. The 20th of Iyar, that's a year minus 10 days. They come to Har Sinai, the Pesukim told us back in Chumash Mos, on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, and now the 20th of Iyar, 10 days shy of the next Rosh Chodesh Sivan, they're leaving. So the beginning is very, very, very clear exactly when things are happening, all the beginning of the Shana Hashemis. Then you go into Meraglim, and the Meraglim Chazal tell us this is following directly on the heels of that. Chazal work out the timing. Shulam. Chazal work out the timing. Help yourself. Chazal work out the timing. That they were gone for 40 days. They come back Ches Av. Thank you so much. Thank you. Up until this point, everything is, the timing is very clear. And then Rabbi Shalom says, you blew it. It could be the Midbar, it could be 40 years of Midbar. And suddenly, all the timing stops. And for the next couple of parshas, there's no indication of the Chumash when anything is happening. The revolt of Korach, hard to know. Like the Mapilim at the end of Shlach, who decide now we're going to Eretz Yisrael, they wanted to do tshuva, and Moshe Rabbeinu says that's the wrong way to do tshuva, and that seems like it happened right after.
Is he alluded to in Adyachrin?
Which?
Is that a different group of people? Says Lo Nacham El Gem Derech Eretz Plishtim, Kikarovin, the Rashi there says that there are other people who tried to go.
Yes, there was a group that seems like they may have escaped earlier, and there's also the group of Mapilim who go after the Meraglim, after Kadosh Baruch Hu says you're going to be punished for your lack of chibur, your lack of Zionism, your lack of emunah, your lack of Zionism, your lack of chibur zaretz, Kadosh Baruch Hu told you this way you should go. So the lack of emunah in Rosh Hashanah and Nevuat Moshe, the Yelashin Hara by Diba Zaretz, so they thought, oh, let's make a tikkun by going now. And Kadosh Baruch Hu said not to go now. Now it's the wrong time to go. And they were doing what they felt was right rather than what Kadosh Baruch Hu told them was right, and that was that type of moral relativism got them into trouble. So that presumably happened right afterwards. But then Parshas Korach, when did it happen? Actually, all of a sudden, there are no dates. All of a sudden, just episodes. And some opinions of Chazal, Korach happens right afterwards. Some opinions of Chazal, Korach happens later on. It's hard to know. And then there are, and then the stories that follow Korach, the beginning of Parshas Chukas, no dates. Finally, all of a sudden, middle of Chukas, Perek Chaf, they come to Midbar Tzin, and now we're in year 40. All of a sudden, now we're in year 40. That's remarkable. We don't know. So we're seeing the beginning or we're seeing the end. Says the Ram, says in the Tziv, and from Chukas through the end of Chumash Bamidbar, is going to be those events of the last couple of months, the last year. And after sort of being in a holding pattern in the Midbar for almost 40 years, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is leading them from place to place to place. All of a sudden, they start shooting northward hundreds of miles and alongside the east bank of the Yarden. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, don't fight with Ammon, Moab, and Edom, who are the southern half of the east bank. Now, up the northern half of the east bank, Sichon and Og, they've been conquered by those kind of kings. They can fight, and they fight, and they conquer. That becomes Eretz. That becomes Eva Yarden. It's going to be Reuben, Shimon, Reuben, Gad, Chatishan, and Manasseh. A lot of action. So that's sort of the layout of Chumash Bamidbar. There's a lot of action happening specifically with Shana Hashenis, and then there's a sort of limbo, and then there's the Shnasa Arbon. Now comes back to Ramban's the Nitziv's introduction. He says, you want to know what the core of this sefer, the core theme of the sefer, is Hamachlif u'mishnei halichos im Hashem v'chaya olam e'al shei giyu l'Eretz Yisrael. The focus of the sefer is to notice how HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed the way he interacted with us. From the time in the Midbar up until the transition to when we are finally in year 40, right next to Eretz Yisrael. And he explains, the Midbar is Nisag, and the Midas Teferes, Shalach Limin Noshe, Legamri Lamayla Malichas HaTeva. We'll leave aside any Kabbalistic references here, but he says about the Teferes Limin. But he says, during the 40 years in the Midbar, it was Hanhag, it was total Nisim. Total Nisim Kaluyim. Lamayla Malichas HaTeva, everything. Food, clothing, shelter, everything was total open miracles. Breakfast fell from breakfast, lunch, and supper fell from the sky. It wasn't a box of donuts from Dunkin' Donuts. Mamish fell from the sky. Eretz Yisrael. Once they get into Eretz Yisrael, Hohu b'derech hateva, v'sisrei hashkachas malchus shamayim baruch hu. Once of course the Yarden to get into Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be natural living. We're going to be farming. We're going to be growing our own food. It's going to be lechem in the aretz instead of lechem min hashamayim. They indicate a little bit the end of Parshas Shlach when they're told they're going to be staying in the Midbar longer. One of the mitzvahs that they get post Meraglim is the mitzvah of Hafrash Haschala. And the Torah stresses you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, not just yet, but b'vavachem el haaretz. You come into Eretz Yisrael, ba'acholcha milachem haaretz. Once you start eating the bread of the land, right now you're eating bread from the sky, lechem min hashamayim. But you can come into Eretz Yisrael, you start eating lechem haaretz. You can start farming. You can start producing food in natural ways. Eating, and living off of teva instead of surviving based on nisim geluyim. It doesn't mean that Kodesh Baruch Hu disappears, chas v'shalom, but it means sisrei b'derech hateva v'sisrei hashkachas malchus shamayim baruch hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to adopt his usual stance in Olam Hazeh, which by divine choice is a hidden one. Kodesh Baruch Hu prefers to create a front of a natural order, and that's what we observe. And this transition, this shift from Nisim Guluyim to Teva of Nisim Nisarim, this shift Hitzchel Odom Bamidbar B'Shnas Arban. Look apart the way, but later when we get to Parakup, he says, I'm going to explain more. He says, but the transition rate begins during year 40. For instance, The wars that they have with Sichon and Og, with the Canaanite kings in the northern half of the East Bank, were more natural than the wars that they had, let's say, with Amalek, when they were after the Mitzrayim. Gahamato hema biad Moshe tamil esat tzorach lofi hanachreach. Kemoshe biar Gershom, he says, their Nitzim was very sensitive to the details. He said, if you read the Psukim, since the latter half of Chumash Bamidbar, it's clear that Moshe Rabbeinu no longer has his mata in hand at all times. Apparently, earlier on, he always had the mata with him, and the mata was a tool for doing Nisim. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu already at the year 40, he put it aside. He wasn't always equipped with the mata. When he needed it, he got it. And that was both an indication and a consequence of this shift that Kadosh Baruch Hu chose to make during that last year to gradually transition from an Hanagatisis to an Hanagatisis. And he says, Alzeh Shinei Mitzuyim B'Zeh Sefer. This is what Chazal comment on in Bereishis Rabbah. Bereishis Rabbah is a very ancient medrash. It goes back to the days of the Tanam, the early Amoraim. It's sort of parallel. The other five, four Chumashim have Midrash Halacha, ancient Midrash Halacha, Mechilton Shmos, Sifran Vayikra, then the Sifrei Mamid Madvar. There's no Midrash Halacha in Bereishis. Bereishis is very little Halacha in it. So the ancient Midrash is Bereishis Rabbah. It has some Halachic discussion, mostly Agada. The Sifrei Midrash Halacha have some Agada, mostly Halacha. The Bereishis Rabbah comments, we have Dela Elokim ben Ha'or ben Ha'oshah. Rosh Hashanah separates between light and dark on the first day of Bria. Zeh Sefer Bamidbar Shu Mapdil ben Yotzei Mitzrayim ben Boi Ha'aretz. A striking medrash. The Havdal between the Ha'or Ha'oshah is like the Havdal between the door that left and the Mitzrayim and the door that went into Eretz Yisrael. What does that mean? In the dark? I mean, they were in the dark? He says, no, what that means is that the Yotzei Mitzrayim, that first generation, they experienced HaKadosh Baruch Hu was brightly evident. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was clearly evident to them. They were living with Nisim Guyan. The Boi Ha'aretz, that next door, they were HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just as present, but less obviously so. So that was Hosha. Like we saw earlier in the year, the third part of Mitzvah Sashar, the Ramchal quotes the Gemara in the Mitzvah, I believe it was. Usually, the normal routine of Olam Hazeh, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like night, and the Ramchal explained that by design, Olam Hazeh is confused, Olam Hazeh is unclear. That's the way Olam Hazeh normally is. During these years in the Midbar, Klal Yisrael experienced something extraordinary. And now they were transitioning back to ordinary living, the way life is usually supposed to be like in Olam Hazeh. He says, look, there are a lot of differences. There's definitely a transition. As I showed you a couple of differences, you see the mata, and so on and so forth. Then he says, now let's go, so how does the answer the question? Did he just distract us? What was his opening kasha?
What does numbers have to do?
Yeah, why numbers? So now he says, well, he gave us a vehine. A vehine, let's develop this idea. Look at what Sefer Midbar is all about. Midbar is all about the transition from miraculous living to natural living. And then he says, and what's that to do with the numbers? He says that in a certain sense, this transition is particularly clear when you look at the two countings. Because counting is something that happens twice. That doesn't happen twice. It happens once in the year 2, and once in year 40, you can, if you look carefully, you'll notice subtle differences that bespeak this transition. That's like the before and after pictures. The content is the same, but the format is different. Based on the change in how Klal Yisrael were being led by emotional. So that's why Parmi Pishum Ha, Parmi Shona, Apisayr de Golem, Vidal Ruchus, came a couple of Shvina. Ephraim Rosh Hardegel, the Kodim Lemenasha. He says, with the way that we're organized for the counting in Parshas Bamidbar is very, very much Alpi Kabbalah. The Yechezke, he's mentioned about the Merkava. What's that all about? Vidal Ruchus, came a couple of Shvina. So I can't explain what I don't know. I can tell you things that I have read, and we'll all be reading and listening to it for a week, the morning of first morning of Shavuos. Yechezkel, the opening paragraph of Yechezkel, Gemara tells the sugya beginning of the second paragraph, because it tells us the Ma'aseh Merkabah is deep, deep Kabbalah, and you can't learn unless you're initiated. So I know what the words say, some of them, anyhow. It describes different layers of Malachim, and it describes that metaphorically, a Kodesh Baruch Hu has a throne with four sides, and each side has a particular picture on it. We spoke about this Parshas Vayetze, Achen Anochi. Right? The Navi describes the four images and the four sides of the throne, the Aryeh, Kruv, Nesher, and Pnei Adam. Which Gemara in Chulin says specifically the face of Yaakov Avinu, Anochi. So we don't know what this means, but we do know that a throne is something that supports a king and that demonstrates, it gives expression to his royalty, to his regalness. So there's some spiritual equivalent in Shamayim at the Kisakar. And it somehow corresponds to four-sided things. So what he says is, Klal Yisrael, we're going to be learning over the course of the next couple of parshas the way Klal Yisrael were arranged in the Midbar. Three Shavatim on each of the four sides, Dafka arranged as a square, and that apparently a Pikabal is meant to correspond to the Kisa covenant in Shemayim. That expresses the fact that, as Ramban mentioned, again, Parshas, that the others were Merkabah L'Shechina, Chazal say, and the Klal Yisrael and Midbar also reached this level of Merkabah L'Shechina. We were in some sense like a human, a terrestrial Olmazeh equivalent of the Kisar Kavanah, the Merkabah. I don't know exactly what that means, but it does mean that we were meant to be an expression of Kavod Shamayim. And somehow the organization of Yehudi, Yisachar, Zvul on this side, and Reuven, Shimon, and Gad on this side, and so on and so forth, was corresponded to whatever the themes are of those four pictures, the four sides of the Kisar Kavanah. That's the way Chazal said that when they brought Yaakov Avinu back to Eretz Yisrael to bury him, Chazal said they also organized themselves the same way around the Aron of Yaakov Avinu. Levi didn't participate, Yosef didn't participate in carrying, but Yosef's two sons did, and that's how you had the 12 carriers in the same layer. So Al-Pi Kabbalah, this is very, very significant. So we're not exactly sure. But he says the fact that you have the organization into those four groups of three, that's the way they're organized when they encamped around the Mishkan, and that's the way they're counted. They count the way it's something interesting to keep your eyes on. Bechalal, over the course of Chumash, there are a number of times that the Shvatim are listed, and there are several differences to keep your eyes on before. One obvious difference is when we count 12 Shvatim, sometimes it's including Levi and Yosef counts as one, and sometimes it's excluding Levi and Yosef counts as two, Ephraim and Asher. That's the most obvious difference. And then there are more subtle differences in terms of the order, how the Shvatim are sequenced. If you look at a trip, I think there are at least four or five different sequences of the Shvatim that you'll find over the course of Chumash. Not always clear as what the significance is, but here the Mitzvah says, since it's sometimes we can figure out, this is, for instance, when they're counted the first time, the organization is Al-Seder, the Degolim. They're counted here in Parshas Bamidbar. The count here is in part done Al Seder HaDegol. And he says in Bamidbar the Rashim had to be the people doing the count had to be from that Shevet. So if you go to Parshas Pinchas, you'll see it was not the same. It was no longer with the same Kabbalistic flair. What it means? You don't know, but obviously the fact that there was more structure al pi Kabbalah in the first counting and the second counting. In fact, the first counting reflected Kaisal being Merkabah L'Shechina in the way that the second counting did not. That's a great indication that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was relating to them differently. Oh, this is very, very significant, more than we appreciate. So much so that Chazal saw fit to call the Sefer HaChumash what is the book of numbers, because looking at those two sets of numberings gives you a sense of the transition. And then he goes on to say one last twist. He says that there's one other curiosity about Chumash Bamidbar. One other funny feature of Chumash Bamidbar you don't find anywhere else, which is that although we assume the Chumash Bamidbar is a single Sefer, al pi halacha has the status of a single Sefer, but there are these, everyone's going to come across these indications in Chazal that says, though it's multiple Svarim together. Hanir dal pi zeh kavana amru Chazal d'vahi ben tzar aron hu Sefer b'vnei hatam. Now there's this idea that those two psukim in Baal Oscha, v'hi ben tzar aron is a Sefer on its own, such that it cuts Bamidbar into three, v'hi ben tzar, before v'hi ben tzar and after v'hi ben tzar. What's that all about? What does it mean? Well, you can put those two psukim on a cloth. That is the din of a Kedusha Sefer. What does that mean? He says, no, you know what it means? It means that the change already happened then. The change began to happen then. That because they were in such a madrega of Hanaga Nisus, it's such a direct communing with Ribbono Shalom at that point, so any little chet evoked immediate response. One little chet, and then boom! Misalon him, and there was ready an onesh. And he says that was difficult for Klal Yisrael. And he says you take a look at my parish in Parsha Shlach. One of the main mysteries is what caused the chet meragim. The idea Sfasama says that the Tziv alludes to as well. The meragim was such good tzaddikim. Why are they doing such a terrible chet? Well, what's going on? They're trying to dissuade the Jewish people from going there. So, I think Sfasama has the idea, and the Tziv has the idea. They have the idea that they were scared of going to Eretz, and they were scared of this. What's the significance of all this? The transition of Havanisis, Aravanis, and Havanitis. So the Sivan and Sasav, again, there's a lot of different terminologies. They developed the idea that Klausel were spooked, and the leaders were spooked. If we're Klausel with Eretz as well, that's amazing. But on the other hand, it means less hashgacha pratis. It means less connectedness to Ribbono Shel Olam. It means, in a certain sense, you know, part of growing up is scary, even for an individual person, because, you know, striking on your own and being a little more independent is exciting, at the same time, daunting. And the Meraglim were not sure that Klal Yisrael were ready. They weren't sure they were ready to operate more with more independence, with less hand-holding for Ribbono Shel Olam. That was scary. That's what Sfas Emes says, and Sif says something like that. That Rambam thought the Klal Yisrael needed a little more time. Moshe Rabbeinu might make such a call. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Lucas when he thought Klal Yisrael weren't ready for it. So maybe we'll dissuade them. It's not time to go to Eretz Yisrael. Of course, Eretz Yisrael is developed, but they're not ready for it yet. Now the world is different. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was masking to Moshe Rabbeinu was breaking the Lucas. Here they had direct seed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to Eretz Yisrael, and they think they're going to outthink Ribbono Shel Olam. That's not the way to go. So it was because they thought they could outsmart HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was sort of the basis of this being a terrible, terrible chet. He says this is part of what was drawn, that's the significance of Eitan Tzoharim. It was this incredible closeness, but also this incredible closeness that set up, it's almost like a little too close. Well, too close. Are we sure we want this? Are we sure we're ready to go without that? The chatayim were getting very rapid response in the midbar, but thinking about, on the other hand, what would it be like without that? Maybe what drove the meraglim to their chat, drove the meraglim to mislead Klal Yisrael in a terrible, terrible way. This is, Sib says, the next 2-3 months of Chumash Bamidbar are grappling with these ideas. The growing up, the maturation of Klal Yisrael from needing the hand-holding of Hanhaga Nisus. We could have graduated more quickly had we behaved properly. We could have gotten to Eretz Yisrael and Hanhaga Tevis more rapidly. In the end, we needed 40 years. Yeah, we had a longer adolescence, such as a longer growing up period. So ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's in Eretz Yisrael, we're ready to adapt that challenge. And there are times in your life when you, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more evident, and times in one's life, even in an individual's life, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is less evident. Like we've discussed that, that the mashal of the lightning bolt, that the Rambam gives in the Mor Nevuchim, that the goal is not, and as Rambam writes at the end of Parshas Bo, the goal is not to always be living with Hanhaga Nisus. The goal is to take the clarity of Hanhaga Nisus and use it to illuminate my way in when things are less clear as well. Kadosh Baruch Hu created a perfect God, created an imperfect world perfectly. By that, by design, Al Mazeh is full of Nicholim, by design Al Mazeh is full of Chesronos, so we need to be Mamalek. By design Al Mazeh is full of gaps of clarity, and we're supposed to be misgovered. We take the greater clarity of when we have that greater clarity of the Hanaganesis, we use it to illuminate the Hanagatibis. That's the overarching message of the Chumash Bamidbar.